The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, hour number two, 866-660-5759. And let's see here, what did my buddy Jonathan Smith has just weighed in. He said something about how it is going to be a problem because with the Plano game now on a Thursday, which is lovely. It's great that they were able to put that thing. Here we go. Hang on a second. By moving the game. This is awesome. I love Jonathan. By moving the game to a Thursday, it's a problem. All those kids, players, support, student staff, cheerleaders, band, etc., will now miss 2 days of school instead of one. Likewise, some students at Plano will miss a day because they got to move all their equipment across town. Additionally, all those people coming from El Paso will now have to pay tolls they're not accustomed to paying. It's not. I don't think it's like the Clampets coming to Las Vegas, but still, if they had hotel reservations in Plano, now they got to change or at least spend a lot more in tolls going back and forth. So it looks like the Plano superintendent doesn't care that students won't be in class and people have to spend even more money to see their kids' game. And I doubt that Jerry will let the Star drop its steep admission and parking prices. I have to confess, I thought that too. How much is it going to cost to go to this thing? Is it the $5 that one would expect from a high school football game? Will parking be 30? I don't know. They need to, if the Star in Frisco, it is a Frisco ISD thing. In fact, let me ask y'all, people of Frisco, when you go to actual Frisco ISD football games, that's a pretty good home stadium there in the Frisco ISD, the Star, the Cowboys facility. How much is it to park and get in there? Because I know they got to pay the bills at that place, too. All right. Alan West joining us in a moment in his bid to be state Republican Party chair. Real quick, we are in Dallas. Bill, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
All right, sir. How are you?
I am good. Thank you.
Off the subject question to see if you know about it. The wording for the vote on the state income tax in Texas?
Yes.
Yeah, is it worded if you vote yes, you want to go against it?
Correct. Here's what's weird. And it's not real sinister, but it goes, ooh, we're trying to get fooled. Proposition 4 strengthens the ban on a property tax. Okay. Let me share Proposition 4. The constitutional amendment prohibiting the imposition of an individual income tax, including a state on including a tax on an individual share of partnership and unincorporated association income. So, in other words, Proposition 4 strengthens the legislative ban on a state income tax. So, voting yes on 4 means you really don't want a state income tax. Voting no on 4 means maybe you're not as geared up against a state income tax. So, yes on 4 is anti-state income tax.
Well, thank you for your information. That's exactly what I needed.
It is my enormous pleasure. Thank you. 866-660-5759. All right, let me share a couple of things. We're getting Alan West hooked up here in just a little bit. And at 8:35, Dan Patrick's going to join us. That in and of itself is a common occurrence, and we're very pleased to have the Lieutenant Governor on at all times. But he'll have the story of Thursday night when he wondered if maybe he was going to die. Big-time chest pains. Went to the ER. And here's a matter of fact. We texted back and forth a little bit. It'll be a little bit of a preview of what we're looking for at 8:35. I wrote him and I said, hey, Dan, Mark Davis, just saw your news. My actual family and the radio family are lifting you up in prayer for a speedy recovery. And he writes back, thanks, Mark. I'm going to become an evangelist on this issue. Men especially don't like going to the doctors. All my EKG, stress tests, blood tests were negative. They don't detect the blockage issue. His angiogram did. I said, listen, I promise I'm not going to turn you into a Viascan of Las Colinas commercial. But that's why we say go when you feel good. Go when you feel good. Don't wait for chest pain. So anyway, he went to the ER and got a stent put in. And I guess, I don't know, the wee hours of Friday or something like this. I don't know. And so that adventure and more as Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick joins us at 8:35. It is 8:14 in McKinney. Chad, hey, Mark Davis, how are you? Hey, Chad.
Hey, how are you doing, Mark?
I am good, thank you.
Hey, I've got on the call with me Shane Haggerty, who is a board member for life in Ysleta ISD, which is where Eastwood High School is.
Oh, gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So he and I are good business partners, and a lot of the things that you were saying were true with me, and there are things that Shane had said to me last week about how insulting Plano's decision was. So I just wanted to introduce you to him and let him say a couple of things about the community in Ysleta.
But is he? I mean, what do you mean? What do you mean introduce you? Is he sitting there with you?
Oh yeah, he's on the phone with us right now.
look at this setup. All right, sir, give me the full business card, if it will. Go right ahead, sir.
Good morning.
Hi, how are you, sir? Do me a favor, give me the full intro because we had a kind of a tough seller. I understand. Are you on the Ysleta ISD board?
I was their past president in 2015 and 2016.
Gotcha. Okay, and your full name is?
Shane Haggerty.
Gotcha. All right. So, well, then how did this play out from out there in the El Paso perspective when you first heard that Plano had pulled the rug of the game out from under you? How did that play out there?
I had a few different emotions. I was pretty frustrated at first, of course. And then when I really found out the details that it was supposed to be canceled due to the fact they wanted to make sure their students were safe, that they were afraid of something that our students were going to do, was
well, that appears to. Are you listening to the radio by any chance, sir? Because I just want to make sure we're all coherent here. That was never the case. We were never concerned about. That's what made it look so terrible. It looked like we were afraid of the visiting El Paso kids. It appears that the superintendent in Plano was concerned that there might be local trouble. I don't know if it would be locally originated trouble, but that white supremacists would descend upon the game and that trouble would result from that.
So if that's the case, then why was our invitation to come play down here turned down?
No, gotcha. Well, that's probably not the easiest thing in the world. All of a sudden turn it from an 8.5 hour trip that y'all make to an 8.5 hour trip that they make. That's not the easiest thing in the world. But the suspicion is proper. And once they finally managed to wangle a Thursday night game, September 5th, is everybody feeling a little better about things out there?
Definitely the mood's picked up, and there's been a lot of people that said that they want to get out there and they want to make sure that our kids do great. They always put forth 100% effort. They're always looking for a way to show what it is that El Paso has to offer, and the community has really rallied behind them, just like they rallied behind everybody that's had to go through everything that we've gone through these past couple of weeks.
Listen, I know. And in our last couple of minutes, let's spend a second on that, because I very much appreciate the Chad for the hookup there, because not only were you on the school board, you ran for city council recently in El Paso, correct?
I did, yes, sir.
Gotcha. So share with me a little bit what it's been like for the community. We've seen a lot of politicization of what happened thereafter, but the first and foremost are our prayers and our good wishes for the victims and those who are hurting and who lost so much. How's everybody doing, I guess, is the broad question I want to ask.
That's a good question. certainly we're doing a little better. We're starting to heal. We're starting to come together even more so as a community. But El Paso has always been one big neighborhood. It's always been the biggest small city, I think, in the world. So I know we'll do well. I know we're going to survive this. We'll certainly keep on moving. But the outpouring has been tremendous here in town, but also from across the nation. It's been pretty nice. We had the memorial over Walmart Saturday.
Yes.
We met with people from Las Vegas who were there from the shooting.
Oh, my.
That happened out there in 2017. And they were there just to offer support. What was real neat was Margie's funeral, where that's where the gentleman who didn't have any family here in town, so he invited everybody.
Yes. And boy, he invited everybody, and everybody showed up, didn't they?
They sure did. We ended up with 22 hearses worth of flowers that were delivered to the memorial.
For those that don't know, Mr. Haggerty is referring. We'll see this every once in a while, sometimes for a fallen soldier that doesn't have family. In this particular case, a gentleman who lost his wife of 22 years. They didn't really have any family or, you know, to speak of. And so the funeral home, he told the funeral home that it's okay if they just, you know, publicize this. Anybody who wants to come can come. Thousands of people show up for Margie's funeral, and it was just a wonderful outpouring. And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you get to make the trip, Mr. Haggerty. That is 8.5 hours. But when you come to Frisco, when El Paso comes to Frisco on September 5th, there'll be quite the outpouring there. I think the locals may be rooting for Plano, all other things being equal. But there'll be an enormous amount of love for the visitors from Eastwood and for everybody from El Paso that makes that trip.
Looking forward to it. Chad's been truly amazing. If there's anyone who's a true representative of the community, I think it's Mr. Green.
Well, I tell you what, as well as a pretty fine talk show segment producer. So, Chad, thank you for letting us meet Mr. Haggerty, and God bless both of you. Thanks very, very much. Yeah, I think I'm going to go now. Friday night would have been a little tough, but Thursday night lights, September 5th. Yeah, Friday, that particular Friday night would have been a particular challenge because it happens to be Lisa's and my 17th anniversary. All right, so move it back to Thursday, and I think we can go. It is 8:21, Mark Davis, 6:60 a.m., The Answer. Let's go to some of the Sunday audio here as we wait. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick with stories about his, I guess he technically did not have a heart attack, technically, almost, I guess. They got to it, put the stent in him as chest pain kick in, and he now has a word of advice for everyone that I think is probably going to be worthy of hearing. It's always worthy of hearing when the lieutenant governor comes and hangs out. And then we did have some shared comedy. I said, listen, if it wouldn't cause a relapse, can I ask you about Dennis Bonin? And he wrote back, hey, listen, humor is good. Here in Austin, they're surprised to find out that a conservative even has a heart. Rim shots, politics, and health. Coming up with Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick right after the 8:30 news here with Gordon, which is just a couple of minutes away. I wanted to roll out a little bit of this. So can we stipulate that the Beto campaign national version not exactly lighting it up like the Texas version did? Why is that? I think a lot of it is competition. He caught lightning in a bottle in Texas. It's not like there were, you know, 20 big name or medium name Democrats running against him for the primary in the battle against Ted Cruz. So he benefited from his particular set of gifts, which I don't want to sneeze at. I take nothing away from what Beto was able to do in achieving what I consider to be a pretty well miracle of coming within 2.5 or 3 points of Ted Cruz, for crying out loud. But roll him out on the national stage, and boy, it has been crickets and tumbleweeds. And on Meet the Press, Chuck Todd asked him about it.
Let me be blunt. You don't retool a campaign or reboot. You don't say it that way. If you think things were going swimmingly, you've acknowledged that you feel as if you hadn't been talking about the issue that you think you should be talking about more, and that's President Trump.
Oh, God. So here's another sign of desperation, and that is when you no longer really want to talk about actual issues, but you just need to, kick Trump in the crotch, because that's the way you get noticed.
Explain what you weren't doing before that you think you'll be doing better now.
Yeah.
You know, from the outset of this campaign, even before this campaign, I talked about how dangerous President Trump's open racism is.
Sweet Lord. This is why they're going to get, this is why he's going to win. The Trump's a racist is as empty a well as Russia. And you know, honestly, if you're walking around with a fantasy of Russia in your head, that just makes you a goofball. A false accusation, a politically contrived accusation of racism, is a genuinely devious thing to do.
Mexicans as rapists and criminals, the Muslims who should be banned from this country, how it doesn't just offend us, but it changes us. The rise in hate crimes every single one of the last 3 years, the mosque in Victoria, Texas, burned to the ground the day after he signs his executive order attempting to ban Muslim travel.
Sweet Lord. So that's Trump's fault. Oh, by the way, remember the mayor of Dayton is getting like some threats, and that's always regrettable. You never want to have that happen. But some of the headlines over the weekend were Ohio mayor gets threat after Trump comments, as if there's causation there, as if that's why she got threats. Keep it up, guys. Keep it up. It is why you are going to lose. All right, 8:30. Let's hop in with Gordon Griffin in the newsroom. Alan West is going to be with us 9:05. So if you think, I missed Alan West. No, you didn't. He'll be along at 9:05. Colonel, former Congressman Alan West, and now running for chairman of the State Republican Party of Texas. But he's already the lieutenant governor of Texas, and we might have just about lost him on Thursday night. We'll talk to Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick next. 8:30. Here's Gordon.
Don't tell my heart, my aching-breaking heart, I just don't think he'd understand.
Wow, was this a good idea?
And if you tell my heart,
oh, man.
My aching-breaking heart,
here's some imagery.
He might blow up and kill his man.
Yeah, okay, it just seemed like a good idea. Heart Songs, Texas, Billy Ray Cyrus, 1992, achy-breaky. Yeah, the notion of exploding hearts got a little too close to true. Late Thursday night, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who had been all over creation, New York, El Paso, cable TV appearances, you know, the need to be out in El Paso, understandably. And as he related to me in some texts, he said, listen, at first I just thought I was tired, I was busy, but then I soon realized it was something far, far more serious. Joining us to take us through that and whatever else we have time for, the thankfully still alive and with us, Lieutenant Governor of Texas, Dan Patrick. Congratulations, sir. How we feeling?
Hey, Mark, I'm feeling great. And by the way, it's always great to be with you, but especially today.
Yeah, it's like George Bird said, it's great to be here. It's great to be anywhere.
Yeah, the biggest shock to Austin media was that I actually had a heart.
Ba-dum-boom.
You know, liberal media is yes. But look, you know, you reached out and texted me when I was in the hospital and at the end of last week, and I asked to come on because, Mark, I'm going to become an evangelist on this now, on this issue. So this call is not about me this morning. I mean, I'll give the quick background so people really can have a sense of what happened and how they should also be watching their bodies and asking for the right test. But it occurred to me, Mark, that, look, this time last week, literally, because I flew up to New York last Monday night to do the Fox show Outnumbered on Tuesday, I had no idea, Mark, that I had a ticking time bomb in my chest, that the largest – the artery that supplies more than half the blood to your heart, known as the Widowmaker artery, was 90% blocked. I had no idea. And, you know, so I was at any moment, anyone in that situation could have a severe heart attack, and they don't call it the Widowmaker for nothing. And so I had no idea, Mark. Look, I'm 69 in great health. I do a physical every couple of years. I pass the EKG. I pass the stress test. The blood work is fine, no heart, you know, maybe a little high cholesterol. It takes medicine for that. But I was fine as far as I knew. You know, I'm not overweight. I've never smoked or done drugs. I hardly ever drink. I don't have diabetes. The only thing in my past would be family history. And that played a key, Mark, by the way, for all of your listeners, men and women. If you have family history, that can be a part of it. A real quick overview, Mark, we always think that men – have more heart trouble than women. That used to be true before the late 80s, but today as many women as men die from heart disease. It's still the number one killer, the silent killer. The average person, the average man who has the first heart attack is around in 65. Women, it's around 72. And obviously there are younger people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s that have heart trouble. But a couple of messages. One, listen to your body. Listen to your body. And if your body is telling you through, discomfort in your chest or pain in your chest, shortness of breath, some of those signs, go to the emergency room, go to a doctor. Do not ignore it like I did last Tuesday when I was at the airport in New York.
So you had a little twinge, but then Thursday night you had a pretty serious pain. And it's just the way everybody says, chest, jaw, neck, shoulder. Did you let that ride for about 15 minutes to see, and then it went away? Yeah. And he said, let's see if it comes back, and it did.
Yeah, I just got, again, 7 flights, 6 cities, 3 time zones in 3 days. I just thought I was tired and a little breathless. I knew something was going on, but again, I just came home. I had some barbecue for dinner, talked to a couple of folks on the phone, catching up on phone calls, and then I got up to let the dog out, and I had a pain in the middle of my chest like I've never had in my life, a piercing pain. Some describe it, others as an elephant sitting on your chest, but this was a sharp pain, and then instantly I had it in my neck, my jaw, my shoulders, and I even with that mark, I said, that's all the symptoms of a heart attack, but let me see.
I
sat down for 15 minutes, and it went away.
Yeah, but so it's, hey, maybe it's just one of those little episodes. So finally, you get to the ER, and they take EKGs, blood workups, and those were normal.
No, normal. So I was there for several hours, and they did this test over and over and over. And so lesson number one, listen to your body. Don't hesitate. Women on average, according to the Harvard Medical Study, take longer than men to go to see a doctor or an ER if they have chest trouble, chest pain, and shortness of breath. Women wait about 54 hours. Men wait about 16 hours, mainly because their wives tell them to go to the doctor finally. But so I go in there, Mark, and they do the – and look, an EKG, I always thought – That told you, what kind of shape your heart was in.
Right.
That only tells you if you had a past episode, a heart attack. That only tells you if you're having a heart attack. And the same with the blood work. And so all of those tests were normal and over several hours, normal, normal, normal. They kept taking them. And the pain subsided, and then it came back, it went away. And I'm starting to think, Mark, is this me? Did I imagine this? Is it just acid reflux or indigestion, which many cases are? But my symptoms were sharp, and the doctor said, look, there's something going on. And so here's the next thing. If you really want to know where you are in that situation, take the last test. And the last test is an angiogram where they put put dye into the arteries around your heart. That's the only way you know. You can take other tests to give you a sense of plaque in your veins and that, which is good, but it's that dye in the veins. And so the doctor, he could have easily said, all your tests are fine, or he could have said a number of things. And he said, look, I want to try one more test. Are you willing to do it? I almost said, no, let me go home. If I feel bad tomorrow, I'll come back. And I said, okay, let's do it. I'm here. And they run the dye in. And I was in kind of a twilight, they kind of like half in, half out with the anesthesia when they do that. And I heard them say, there it is, 90% blockage in the Widowmaker. And so... So the definition, for people that don't know, the definition of a heart attack is when one of your arteries is 100% blocked. When one of your arteries is 100% blocked, that's a heart attack. And of the arteries, the one I had, the left anterior descending, the Widowmaker, was 90% blocked. So they put a stent in, and even though, again, I'm not overweight, I don't have any all those health issues, I'm in great shape, what I didn't know is what I didn't know. So listen to your body. Don't be manly about it or womanly about it. Like, I'm fine. And if you go and nothing shows up, don't hesitate to ask for that. Because the rest doesn't tell you. I'm going to change my diet. And I have a pretty good diet, to be honest with you. But I'm going to eat less red meat and do some other things. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to stay on my medication, this new medication that I have that's in my blood, but I'm great and I'm fine. And the stent is, in fact, having 100% blood flow. It's amazing, Mark. how much better you feel.
Well, it's funny. I mean, from my pastor, Ed Young, who had a valve thing, to David Letterman, who came back and said, it's crazy. I mean, you're taken to a brink of very bad health, if not death. But then once you get that policed up, it's kind of amazing. And so let's spend a second. So while they had the angiogram running up in you, at that point, there it is. Do they just do the stent right then and there?
Yes, because before we went in, he said, look, if we find something, to give us permission to either do a stent or to do a bypass. And I said, absolutely. Oh. While you're there, take care of it.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of where we are. The new stents, Mark, the biggest complication of a stent is clotting. That's why you take blood thinner.
Mm-hmm.
But the new stents are metal, and they're actually treated with medicine that help stop the blood clotting from the stents. But again, I want people, I know there are people in your audience right now, or will at some point, have those chest pains, have shortness of breath, have nausea, have, sweating, have those issues. The things that hit, when I was in the airport last Tuesday, I'd done the Fox show outnumbered, and I was at the airport, suddenly out of nowhere. I mean, I could barely get to the plane. I thought about, I don't even know. I mean, I could barely walk. I was so short of breath, and rapid heartbeat and those things. And I thought, I'm fine. I almost didn't get on the plane because I didn't want to get sick on the plane. But I never had any idea that I had 90% blockage in my heart. So I want people, particularly as they get older, to really look at this issue, because ask all the questions, take all the tests. Don't assume anything, because, again, everything I had done in my heart, all my tests were fine, normal. I mean, and I had no idea.
And we'd rather have, just to wrap this up, that we'll do an issue or two, we'd rather have people go to a doctor, go to the ER, and have them say that you're all right than have them not go and die.
Yeah, absolutely. Because had I not gone, Mark, there were so many moments there. I almost told my wife I'm fine after, after the first episode, I sat back and said, let me see if I get worse. I mean, it's crazy when I look back on it, even though I knew those symptoms were there. And when I got to the hospital, we got to the parking lot and I said to Jan, I said, look, let's go home, because the symptoms had again gone away. And she said, no, we're going in.
Good
and then
her.
I was in the hospital. She said, so all of those things, just don't do that. It's just and again, men and women, it's an equal killer. One out of every three people will die of a heart attack, and it is the number one killer. I'm going to work with some heart surgeons that have already reached out to me, and I'm going to put together a program. I'm not exactly sure what it will look like, but when I give speeches and handouts and information, because again, if you'd have asked me last Monday, I would have told you I've got a great healthy heart. I'm going to live a long, long time. And now with the stent, I'll have that natural life, extension. But I would have never known. And I don't want someone else, as you said, just because, I don't want to go there.
Yeah, let it go. Exactly.
Let it go.
Thank God.
No, don't hesitate.
So listen, with a left anterior descending artery with 100% blood flow, I guess we can handle a few minutes of Dennis Bonin. Where do you see this thing going? This is such a mess. And it's all seen through the lens of Dennis, and the people who love him want this to go away. The people that don't like him want to make it worse. Just purely objectively, where does this go?
Yeah, well, Mark, you're supposed to take the stress out of my life.
Let's give it a test. Let's see how this goes for the next 3 minutes.
And by the way, that's another factor that I'm pretty good at handling stress. I don't know where it goes. Mark, here's my sense of it, is that Dennis has asked for the tape to be released. Other people have asked for the tape to be released. Put it out there and let people then decide. Let the House members decide. Let the public decide. He's asked for it to be released. I think it's fair, since he's asked for it to be released, since he's been accused of things on the tape, to let the public hear it. That's my sense of things. Transparency is important in these things, and that's part of it. And then I think, members will decide. I know that other members have listened to it. I've read those. I have not listened to the tape, but other members have, but I really think that everyone needs to hear the tape and make that decision, and let it fall where it does. If it exonerates him and the members say we're fine to move on, then they move on. And if it doesn't, and they go in a different direction, then that's their choice. But Mark, we've got an election And with that, let me say, we had a terrific session, and Dennis was a big part of it. But they've got to get this resolved. The sooner they do, I think, the better. And I'm not taking sides because I don't know either side of this, but transparency is the key, I think, all the way around is what I'd say. You know, Mark, look, 2020 is going to be a tough year politically. Even though we look at the Democrats right now running for president, they're all socialist idiots. I mean, it's incredible we're even thinking that any of those people could win election. But we have to take them seriously. And in Texas, we have to take it seriously. We have to keep the House. We have to get John Cornyn reelected. We have to win the state for the president. I feel confident about the president. I feel confident about Cornyn. But the Texas House, you know, we don't have to lose many seats to lose the House to the Democrats. And this could play a part in that. And so the sooner it's behind us, however it turns out, is the better. And so I've just kept my distance. We've got other important things we have to do. We have our first roundtable coming up on the El Paso shootings this week. So we got to focus on that. But politically, Mark, Texas is the leader, as goes Texas, as goes America. So we need to button everything up we can.
In our last 60 seconds, when I hear the notion of a roundtable about El Paso, that is inherent. Yeah. It's inherently such a good idea. Dialogue is always good. But you just know that El Paso is ground zero for the gun grabbers, and you have to very thoughtfully know how to fight that.
Yes. When I was on Fox last Tuesday, and look, I'm an NRA guy, okay? They've always supported me. I've supported their agenda. I don't want us to ban assault weapons. I don't want a national registry. I don't want any of those things. But we do have a loophole in our background checks that can solve a lot of problems. Today, Mark, 80% of all guns that are purchased go through a background check. Of that 20% that are not, about half of those are family transfers or sales to family. We need not to touch that at all, because you ought to be able to sell a gun to your family or transfer and no background checks. But about 10%, Mark, of guns that are bought from strangers. It's not the gun show loophole, because most of those are firearm dealers there. It's just stranger to stranger. They don't know who they're selling the gun to. And the U.S. Justice Department looked at the stats of all gun crimes, 80% of guns used in crime were sold through that stranger to stranger.
Couldn't somebody, literally, we'll do another whole segment on this with about 30 seconds, but couldn't say, because I think you're right about all the above, couldn't somebody just say, oh, Big Al's a friend of mine?
Well, and that's how you have to decide. Do you want family and friends or just family?
Just family, gotcha.
But strangers, in other words, if you want to sell it to your friend, I'm fine with that, but you're going to have to take responsibility, and I think most people are responsible. But there's enough, but Mark, there are people selling to total strangers. So that means someone who has a serious mental issue that we want to keep a gun away, or criminals. Look, background checks work, Mark. Since 1998, over 700,000 felons have actually filled out the form to buy a gun. They were stopped. So the key is, we don't need to ban assault weapons. Stephen Woolford saved lives at Sutherland Church when he grabbed his AR-50. We don't want a national register. We don't want gun purchases computerized. We don't want to impact our Second Amendment. And by the way, we don't need red flag laws. I was against it as Senate Governor.
Does not work.
And health, and by the way, you can Google and look at it and talk about it one day. Anyone listening, our health and safety code in Texas, 573. Health and Safety Code 573. We already have laws on the books in Texas, Mark, that if you think someone out there has some serious issue that shouldn't have a gun, you as a citizen can go to a judge and get a civil warrant. And you have to prove it out, but you can get it. A police officer or any law enforcement can take a gun away from someone that they think have a serious issue besides being a criminal. If there's some mental illness there, that they shouldn't have a gun. We already have those laws on the books, because I don't want a mob rule out here that because someone talks a little differently than someone else, or looks a little odd, or acts a little odd, well, that person shouldn't have a gun. And this whole talk about, well, due process, well, you can't have it both ways. You can't have due process means you don't take someone's guns before they're found guilty. And all the due process I hear from the Democrats, they want to take your guns before that ever happens. And by the way, Pete Buttigieg, who's running, and Biden talk about a gun buyback. Let's be clear. There is no such thing as a gun buyback. You can't buy back something you never owned.
The guns never belonged. Exactly right.
And it's a confiscation. So, Mark, you can tell my stent is working fine. You can tell my 100% blood flow
sure
is working fine.
He is on the topical treadmill at full speed, and I, for one, am blessed and glad. Dan, God bless you, man. Let's talk again really soon. Good health, good diet. God bless you, and we'll talk again very soon.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
You bet. That's Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, and he is ready for battle. 8:54. All right, from one powerhouse guest to the next, from Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, fresh off his stent procedure, to Colonel Alan West, who is diving into a race to be the chairman of the Republican Party of Texas. Well, what are his thoughts about that? We'll ask him next. It's 8:59.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.